welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. As the five-day 2017 Made of Walking event in La Romure, southwest France, drew to a close, I had an opportunity to talk to Gert Vermeer, its organiser and a walking poet and philosopher in his own right. We sat in an echoey dining hall in front of a small audience of Made of Walking participants, a couple of whom contribute to the interview by asking questions. Throughout Made of Walking, I'd been trying to pin Gert down for an interview, but he was never still for long enough, so on the off, I wanted to explore his role and how he came to make Made of Walking happen.
And actually, you were asking before to tell the people first what you do here in Made of Walking, and actually, I don't know. I just let things happen, and now I think I'm a poet that got lost. In the sense that I got lost physically very easily, but as well that I sort of got lost in my career. I started as a poet, but I studied music. I studied music with a conductor that was very fond of walking. Sergio Celibidache was his name. And he compared conducting always with walking. A score is a landscape in which you move along. You go up and down, you follow rivers, you go to valleys. And all has his own rhythm, its own time. Actually, a landscape, it's about the recreation of an own time. You create a landscape by walking it. And you create a new music by walking it. It's about an active passiveness, letting happen, as I say, and an augmented awareness that in which suddenly emerge things. So, I am a poet that got lost. Je suis un poète qui s'est perdu. Actually, the first walk I remember was a walk in which I forgot how I got there. I was, I think, some 10 months or 12 months old. And I have a memory of being somewhere, and at the next moment I was somewhere else, outdoors. So, that's what I remember of my first walk. And actually, that always has been my red thread to all the walks I do creatively. So I get somewhere, I don't know how, and I do this with other people together. And in a sense, the first artistic walk I did came relatively late. It was like in the beginning of 2000 that I got this interest in.
You told us the first walk was when he was 10 or 12 months old, yeah. And now we're in 2000. How old were you then?
I forgot. I was about 35.
About 35 in 2000, and you did your first, what you described as a creative walk.
Yes, I did. I was invited by Stefan van Biesen, who talked here as well at Made of Walking, to participate as a poet in an exhibition, a visual arts exhibition, outdoors. And I wondered, what can I do as a poet? So I say, I will make a walk, but I will make a walk without using any words. So I walked through the exhibition with a lantern in the daylight, together with people as a statement, referring to Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, who actually was in his city as well, walking around at broad daylight with a lantern, looking for a human being. And I was fascinated how images can become poetry, how you can make poetry with your body and with movement, so le poète en espace. And this I did already before, when I was director of the Flemish Center for Poetry, when I was asked to bring poetry outdoors. And my first thought was, let it be without words. So I contacted the Museum of Contemporary Art in Ghent, and we started a project of bringing poetry text in the museum, and bringing images as poetry outside. and walk around works of art that were made by a visual artist, inviting people to move around and to experience the poetical side of the images in the city. So it's all about this imaginary, to give a feeling of how things can be completely different if you have this active passiveness, this way to let imagination interact with you, to being open for mutations, for twists, and that is what I try to achieve in my walks. Till about 2009, 2010, then I came into the world of new technology, which for me was like a toy that I had to use in my practice, getting lost. So I went to some developers that immediately declared me crazy because I wanted to have an app to get lost instead of in the hype of the GPS, and to have applications that bring you somewhere and that make finding your way much more clear. And in the audio guides that bring you from point to point, give you information. I wanted to give disinformation to the people, not to walk from point to point, but to make their own trajectory. And we made the NOTUS project together with some amazing friends in Galicia. The NOTUS project wants to, through an app, make it possible for walkers to make their own trajectory, putting layers of sound over, actually circles of sound, over the whole area of the city, making it possible to enter a large area of the city. We did one in Athens with like 400 sound circles, to go in and out wherever you want, creating your trajectory your own, and never having the same experience in your path. To create your own path, to make a walk is actually a form of creation, is something that is extremely important in my work, and which is reflecting as well the Spaziergangwissenschaft. The Spaziergangwissenschaft was an academic discipline invented by Lucius Burckhardt in Kassel in the 90s, in which actually the most important paradigm is that he said the landscape is made by you observing it. And observing it together gives it a critical mass for transformation. And walking is this catalyst for transforming the landscape in a togetherness. Now, that element of togetherness is also very present in NOTUS, because NOTUS was an application that has also an online editor that allows you to make your own creations, your own walks, your own imaginary approaches towards the city, inviting the people to enter in your own creative and your own intuitive approach of the city by putting music, by putting poetry, by putting reflections, and inviting people to walk around and experience your content that you have put on territory. So this is still an ongoing project. NOTUS, although we started in 2010, has still this online editor. Now there are like 700 walks made by people all over the world. It's open source, it's free. And we are going further, of course. There's a new application that I ordered. You know, I don't do anything, I just let other people do it. And it's an application made by a Turkish developer, which allows you to compose your own soundscape by walking in a certain territory. By your movement, by your direction, you will trigger certain sounds, and by moving around, you will trigger other sounds. And so by walking around, you can sort of like plucking sounds out of the public space, returning, playing with it, like using public space as a musical instrument, but as well, again, with texts, voices, soundscapes, and creating a complete mutant alien feeling around you, which I hope allows you or creates the possibility to see actually the things that you never see to make you more aware of what there is, because you are out of your element and maybe better observing the details around you. Now, again, this is open source and free application with an online editor. So everybody can access the editor and make its own creations with that, which are again shared with the community of users.
When I talk to people who make what they describe as walking pieces, which are a combination of layering sounds or inviting people into a walk where they have added sounds or voices, they more often talk about a composition, starting with a composition, that they themselves have a score or for a soundtrack for the walk. But you're actually saying that the walk is the soundtrack.
Indeed. Although actually one of the first walks I made was a score. I had a score with me, and I was taking people with me walking the score. And the score had as well sound elements. So on certain moments we were gathering together, and people were giving a certain sound. In that first case, what were buzzing sounds, like sounds from bees, because for me, walking has something very utopical. So I invited people to become a community of little bees buzzing together and giving them almost impossible sounds to pronounce, which led to, in the first moments when this was performed and I conducting them, to a complete cacophony. But on one way or another, spontaneously finding a sort of harmony between the participants. So this score is like any other score. A score doesn't give you much more than just the height of the notes and a very open approach to the times between. So for me, you make your own time, you make your own piece of music, even if you have something that is trying to define it. It's always created by the people that are walking the area. And it can be created every time again on a different way. And now the walking of the landscape as a musical score is a matter of, as well, of movement, of how fast you move, or in which rhythm you move, how far you go behind, how far you go in front. It's a human interaction, but also an interaction with the patterns and giving attention to the little details. The details that you get out of the background. It's a unique score. It's a unique piece of music. Once it is performed, it is gone. Which attracts me as well much in walking, because it's something that on itself has no goal, it's not a product, it's not something you consume, it's not reproducible, it's in the here and the now.
One of the things that I'm intrigued about too is how you came up with the idea of having a Made of Walking event over a few days or many days, and maybe we will touch on that in a minute. But what I'm also quite interested in is there are quite a lot of camps in these world of sound. And there are people who like to add sounds to an experience, and there are others who say that we should be listening to the sounds around us and we shouldn't be listening to other sounds which are added. So you have people who talk about going on a sound walk, and it's a listening walk, and you go on a audio walk and you kind of know you're going to hear some sounds. While we were putting together Sound Walk Sunday, we had a lot of people saying, I'm not going to truck with you because I'm not interested in adding sounds. And we said, no, we're open to people who are just listening to. And I'm just interested in how you play with that within yourself and your own thinking when you're going out to create a walk. Are you thinking all the time how people can augment the sounds that are there, or are you thinking all the time, actually, I should be listening? Is there some kind of tension within yourself? And then maybe that brings on to how you came to invite people who make walking and make walks and make creative walks coming together to share their knowledge, experience, and work in progress.
The two questions actually come together in a certain way. I think the magic of this gathering, this togethering, as I call it, is exactly that it's not only about artists, it's also about people that have a passion for walking as a physical activity in nature, and people that have a research, have an interest in the knowledge behind walking, and how walking can be a science, a philosophy, a vision with an impact on society and on our community, reflective part that is also in walking. What I do in my sound walks or walks is actually this reflective and this critique. And that's why I compose or design sound walks that have a very strong textual or have a content that as well add the voices of the people living in a certain place and their questions, their doubts, their desires, their what is important for them, and a layer as well, not only contemporary, about the past, to bring back things that are gone, to make you aware and to confront us with the past as something that is definitely gone, and as well on the other side trying to look at the future, and so bring all these layers together, which you cannot do with a mere listening walk. A mere listening walk is going into this magnificent and rich world of sounds around you, which, because we are so visually oriented, we are not aware anymore of our ears, and we lose so much about what is around you. This is another very important value of the analog, non-digital listening walk, which is present in my work as well, because the works I make with sound walking are not only critique, they also are very much with slowing down, with the silent, with the meditative, to be aware on a very active way, to have an augmented awareness. And there it touches with the analog world. For me, the technology and the analog and other things, like nature and technology, or nature and culture, are not opposites, they can be complementary. And I'm researching, exploring the possibility to bring this very economical, technological, artificial into the world of the intuitive.
Okay, so have you got questions for Gerd?
Hi, I'm Julie Poitras-Santos. I'm curious about the relationship of made of walking and the Milena principle, and how the Milena principle seems to have a broad vision involving nomadic discourse and these sort of interconnecting webs and gatherings. You know, maybe that has some connection to this gathering here. And I'd just like to hear a little bit more about how you came to these different categories of exploration within the Milena principle.
The Milena principle started actually with a bunch of friends that literally went out for a walk and started to talk and to see the need of bringing together our experiences as people from different areas, artists, historians, sociologists, people from the sound world, philosophers. We all had in common that we did not have an attitude towards our field of expertise in the sense of to try to grasp it, to conserve it, but we had a very open and fluid way with trying to apply what we do. To try to hold things was not our first concern. So we decided to do something that would disappear, that would not be something that could stay, so we went on a trip together. And in this trip, some people wrote letters, others played some music in interaction with the place where we were, in the cities where we were traveling to, creating on the spot and creating in the places where we stay, which connects us, and that was our first concept actually, with how in the Renaissance artists and researchers, scientists were moving around to Europe. Durer is an example of that. He lived in many places in Europe, traveling around. He had a donkey with his library. We had maybe 10 books with him. And he created, he worked in the houses of friends. Durer became the godfather of Platinier, which is a Flemish Renaissance painter. And they actually became all very much connected with each other on a very human scale. And this is what we try to achieve with the Milena Principle. Traveling around, staying at houses of people, meeting, creating on the spot, creating in the city. And this eventually led to the Made of Walking. This is not about the things we do, it's about the things we are passionate about. And that thing seems to be for all of us, walking.
My name is Inge van den Kronenberg.
Do you think that creating the event Made of Walking, last time it was in Delphi, does it resonate further within the village? Like now, after that we leave, do you think that there will be some awareness left in the town and the villagers for listening and walking and for silence, like yesterday?
Now, this event could have been a little bit longer. I see from yesterday on that after our first 3 days here, that suddenly people are coming towards me, and probably they did towards you as well, with a very big desire to be part of it. And first they were looking a little surprised to these people walking in lines, circles, and other triangles, and making sounds, or being silent, actually being a sort of very strange presence that in this village, but always with a very big sympathy. The first action we did on the Sunday, the opening day, was actually this triangle walk. And immediately an old lady came to me because I was walking a little bit behind, and she said, "This is amazing," without even understanding something of it. And now they start to understand, the local people, and they feel indeed the desire to talk with us. Yesterday night we had quite a deep discussion, the round table, and there were some young farmers that came and that enjoyed the whole evening, even if it was not maybe completely their domain. For them it's a revelation to see that what we do and how we want to open this village for creativity, imagination, and sharing what we do. It is indeed not only about sharing between us, but as well the sharing, the attitude on itself is already a trace. So it's not only about what we have done, the activities, the walks, but these almost incidental meetings on our walks, which is a very important part in my silent walks as well. So it's the silent walk I did together with you intentionally was going in the wrong way, but not only because I get lost, but also because I wanted to do the Santiago way in the opposite way, so we meet the pilgrims, so they don't follow us, or we are not following the pilgrims, but we encounter them. And this encounter has happened in the last 2 days here in La Rumia.
I'd like to know why, when, or where you've chosen the places to have Made of Walking.
As well, almost incidentally, because people invited us to come over here. But certainly very important is the isolation of these places. Last year in Delphi, this year here in La Rumia, these are small villages. Delphi is a village. Even if it has a very important historical and ancient significance, Delphi is a very small place. There are also places that have to do with pilgrimage. Delphi was a place where pilgrims went to listen to the oracle. Here you have the great collegiate where pilgrims make their way to.
For everyone who gets interviewed on Talking Walking, I ask them to recommend 2 walks.
I would advise people to get their friends together for a walk and invite them to do this in silence, to make a silent walk, not alone, but with a group of people. And with my best friend in Ghent, when I come together with him and I see him almost only every 6 months, because I'm all the time traveling around, when we see each other, we don't talk. We enjoy to be together, the two of us. And we don't have to say any words to each other. We can stay for 7 hours just in complete silence and still having this feeling of joy to be together. This experience I would like to pass on. A second walk I would like to advise people to do is to make a walk as you did it for the first time. Try to remember your first walk. I remember this It's almost the only thing I remember from that long ago. And to let you surprise what is around you, wonder what is around you. Don't try to see the things you are used to, but find a joy in it. Because it's the joy that makes it for the first time.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Gert Vermeer. If you have any views on this interview or on any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.